that having finished the journey with Joshua for those years across the wilderness, across the Jordan River, and they set up the land, dwelling in the land, entering into the possession. We finished the study last week, as Rod joked, and today I am beginning a discussion that will last perhaps 6 weeks. I'm not real sure what it'll look like in its entirety, but a discussion on prayer. A discussion on prayer. As I've reflected back over the past 6.5 years, I recognize that only on a couple of occasions have I actually had a message about prayer. And I realized several months ago I needed to jump in and try to remedy that situation. Part of the reason is sometimes I recognize that's not my strong suit. I personally sometimes struggle entering into prayer. I sometimes recognize that it's not everything that I wish it could be. Some of the other habits in spiritual life, I might be able to come to a bit more naturally in my own strength. But prayer is something that I've even admitted to friends and a round table of rabbis that I get together with every other month up in Dayton, Ohio, and mentioned to them one time about my desire for better prayer. And something I discovered about a year ago in a book that Karen and I were reading before we got married, made a comment about prayer, is that we need to remember that there is no guilt. There is to be no guilt. There is to be no condemnation. The moment we place ourselves in that kind of spirit, in that kind of place, condemning ourselves, allowing others perhaps to guilt us, we immediately find our spirits shut down. We're not going to grow at all as long as we maintain a spirit of guilt, a lack of excellence. Prayer is something that Scripture sets a very high bar. In fact, Scripture says so much that we should pray continually. In another place, it says pray without stopping, without ceasing, always giving yourselves to prayer. And some of these passages we'll actually read together. Yeshua himself, Messiah, said, pray always. And how do we do that? What kind of level, what kind of bar does that set us at? As I was thinking this week about prayer, about spiritual discipline in general, I was reminded in my spirit of something that I had thought of before, and it is that in our walk with the Most High, be it prayer, be it the submission of our attitudes or so forth to God, whatever the issue is, our stance should never be that we are trying to master these things. Let me explain what I mean. So often regarding prayer, we hear people say, well, why not pray for an hour a day? Or as David Chernoff, the lead pastor, the lead rabbi in the IAMCS, of which we are a member, even one time at a rabbi's conference, just didn't set the mark at an hour a day. He set the mark at 3 hours a day. He had a discussion that he called Nearer God to Three. And it was like, after sitting through that session, we were all feeling rather small. Even Scripture itself presents that high bar, pray without ceasing. Perhaps it's a volume of prayer, for instance, in the Siddur, something that you want to complete. The complete Shacharit morning prayers in a traditional Orthodox Siddur is scores of pages long. How do you do this? You try, and you find that you can't reach the mark. The goal that has been set seems to be out of reach, seems to be unattainable, and we fail. Let me juxtapose that with something else. And that is, instead of taking an attitude in our lives, be it toward prayer or study or mastering our tongue or habits that we desire to break, instead of trying, why don't we see ourselves as training? As training. After all, if someone wants to run a marathon, they don't try immediately to go out and run a marathon. Instead, there is a rigorous process. One of my closest friends had been training for a marathon for about 6 months. He ran about five mornings a week, sometimes six, sometimes 10 miles. It varied in what he would run each day. But he actually never tried to run a marathon until the day that the marathon came. Instead, he saw himself perpetually in training to run the marathon. If you want to learn auto mechanics, if you want to learn how to make a quilt, if you want to learn to crochet, there is things that must be learned along the way, little things that lead up to the whole. You do not sit down and in a day learn to play Chopin's Polonaise in A, one of my favorite pieces by Frédéric Chopin. And instead, when you get the music and you look at that one passage in the middle and those 30-second note runs in octaves that are in the right hand, and you have this going while you have things going up here, and you go, oh, wow, how can I do that? But you begin to work out the notes. And then you reach the point where you can play it smoothly, but really slow. That's an incredible milestone. I can play it. It's not up to tempo, but I can play it. You are in training. You are in practice. Training is different than trying. Trying takes an over-the-top, on-top kind of perspective. When I try to do something, it's that I'm trying to master all of this. And I have to, as they say, have everything in a row. And I have to have everything figured out. In training, rather, you don't have an on-top perspective, but you have an underneath perspective. When you are in training, that implies that you have a trainer, someone that is coaching, a mentor, a teacher, a leader. It implies you have a trainer. In the narratives of Yeshua, in the Scriptures, we call this process the process that Yeshua brought his disciples through. Being in training is being a disciple. The disciples weren't trying. The disciples were training. And I remember the journey we took through Mark together a couple years ago, seeing that story after story, Yeshua would push in at a different juncture of their life, be it fear, be it their willingness to step up and serve. In another case, it was a story about understanding prayer, this very topic. The disciples were in perpetual training. The day will come, perhaps, that you can play the etude by Chopin, and then you have reached that level. But then there's another piece. There's another piece to begin working on. You can master auto mechanics, but I assert that in spiritual disciplines, you never become a master. You are in lifelong training. We are always a disciple. And we are always under the tutelage of Yeshua. The difference between trying and training. Finally, when it comes to prayer, I think it even needs to take one step beyond that. Learning to pray is not trying to pray. And while we can see it in the picture of training, which is some of the things we'll talk about over the next few weeks, there is one step further. Not only being in training under the trainer of Yeshua, but pushing in even closer into love. When it comes to prayer, we are not only in training, but really prayer springs from a heart of love. Prayer, I have been reminded myself recently, prayer is nothing more than a growing, deepening, ongoing love relationship with the Most High. Let me reinforce that by asking you a question of a completely different nature. What did Yeshua say the greatest commandment was? Love the Lord your God. Right after he said Shema Yisrael, he quoted the Shema, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, which you can learn about at Debbie's house tomorrow at 2:30. And then he went on to quote the next verse, Ve'ahavta et Adonai. You shall love the Lord your God. And then, by the way, he added a second commandment to that, quoting from Leviticus, which also began with the word Ve'ahavta, and you shall love your neighbor. You shall love your God, and you shall love your neighbor. This was, in Yeshua's mind, as well as the mind of Moses, the central commandment. And I've argued in the past that on one level, our rabbinic predecessors in Judaism are correct. There is a fence around the Torah, except I view the fence in a different way. The central command is to love the Lord your God. All the rest of the commandments, for instance, the ones that Rod delineated in his introduction, all the rest of the commandments are merely commentary on how to love God. we do these to teach us how to love God. So it's my take on the fact of what is the fence around the Torah, looking at it in a different way from the written Torah and the oral Torah that the rabbinic sages do. It involves love. It involves falling in love with the Most High. Romans chapter 12, verse 12. By the way, verse 9 says, love must be sincere. Verse 9, love must be sincere. But then listen to verse 12. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. He starts out the paragraph by talking about love, and two verses later he's talking about prayer. Note the link between loving God and prayer. In prayer, we must be faithful. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, pray. Do you get that contrast? Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayers and petitions, with thanksgiving, make your request known to God. What is the antidote to any kind of anxiety? The antidote is in everything, pray. So we have seen that we will, according to Ephesians, we will pray at all times. In Romans it says, pray faithfully. In Philippians it says, in everything, pray. Would you like another? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We read this verse in our prayer gathering earlier this week. And I wasn't the one that read it, actually. Someone else brought it up. 2 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 says, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you. Do you want to know what God's will is? Be joyful, pray, and give thanks always, continually, in all circumstances. Then it says, may the God himself, the God of peace, make you holy. We fall in love. We come into God's presence and we draw close to him. Let me read you a passage about what it means to come into God's presence. God has graciously allowed us to catch a glimpse of his heart. And he is inviting us, you and me, to come home where we belong, to come home to that for which we were created. His arms are poised to receive us. His heart is enlarged to take us in. For too long, we have been in a far country, a country of noise and hurry, a country of climb and push and shove, a country of frustration and fear and intimidation. And he welcomes us home. Remember, we come to his home. He welcomes us home, home to serenity and peace and joy, home to friendship and openness, home to intimacy and acceptance and affirmation. We do not need to be shy. He invites us into the living room of his heart, where we can put on slippers and share freely. He invites us into the kitchen of his fellowship, where chatter and batter mix in good fun. He invites us into the dining room of his strength, where we can feast to our heart's delight. He invites us into the study of his wisdom, where we can learn and grow and stretch and ask all the questions we want. He invites us into the workshop of his creativity, where we can be co-laborers with him, working together to determine the outcome of events. Finally, he invites us into the bedroom of his rest, where new peace is found, and where we can be naked, vulnerable, and free. Of course, clothed in the right clothes for those of you that attend Torah study. It is also the place of deepest intimacy where we can know and be known to the fullest. I think it's a beautiful metaphor of the presence of God. The author goes on to say in the next sentence, the key to this home, the key that opens this home, which is the heart of God, is prayer. The key to the heart of God is prayer. Real prayer doesn't come from trying. Real prayer does not come from gritting our teeth and trying, oh my gosh, I still have to pray 17 more minutes. I've not gotten my hour in. It doesn't come from gritting our teeth. It doesn't come from trying. Real prayer comes from falling in love with the Most High. Isn't that what we stood and chanted together? Ve'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your oomph. Love the Lord. Yeshua says, that's it. The rest is commentary. The Most High invites us into his presence. The key into that presence is prayer. It's not trying, and it's even more than training. Will you endeavor to find new love with the Most High?